Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream. After a season like no other, there's just so much to unpack. We need to keep talking about it all summer long. We are Triple M Footy.
Oh, it's game on! Oh.
Thanks to Brighton's lawyers.
C-O-L-D goal!
This is Triple M's Summer Session.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of our show. Thanks to Brighton's Lawyers. And we have got plenty to talk about this hour. Now, we're going to just step outside the regular boundaries here, Hoops, shortly, because we're going to talk about Super Bowl.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Ben Graham, the punter who spent many years over in the States. He had a number of different teams over in the US, featured in a Super Bowl for the Arizona Cardinals. Great story where he was basically, it was like Moneyball Maroon. He was traded from about three different teams all in the space of a six-month window and landed playing in an NFL Super Bowl with the Cardinals. And then, of course, we'll have all your greatest game of all, rugby league action covered, the cream bun fight that is Israel Folau, Cam MacInnis and the Dragons deciding to dump him and move on to the Cronulla Sharks for 2022. All the other news, all the other views, it's all here on Triple M's NRL Summer Series.
Triple M's Summer Session. Thanks to Brighton's Lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
Triple M's Summer Session. It's thanks to our friends at Brighton's Lawyers. No, they know what it takes to get the best outcome possible and they work tirelessly to make sure they achieve that for their clients. 1-800-848-848. Now we do this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call BS.
All right, so you know what goes on here. We just pick a little topic that's grinding our gears at the moment and we can just have a little rant about it. It goes no further than me and you and whoever else hears it. But don't take this story back to my wife, Christine, Miss Portugal 1984, because she's doing my head in at the moment. And yesterday, everybody in Little Bay were blessed because Randwick Council gave us all brand new bins. You know, yellow top ones and red top ones. I think the rates we pay, we should get new bins every week. But we finally got new bins. So the bins haven't been used yet.
The whole community got new bins.
The whole community got, your whole neighbourhood got new bins, yeah. So anyways, the whole process here, everyone's got new bins. And so yesterday, my wife wasn't home from work yesterday. I fed the pussy cat. You know, I've got two cats, Wendell and Tara, named after the famous couple from Wollongong, Wendell and Tara. I fed Wendell and Tara, and I put the cat can in the new bin, the recycling bin, and it spilled a little bit out all over the bottom of the new bin. And she comes in the door. Hello, Dale. How was your day at work? You've already dirtied that new bin. You are a disgusting pig. You've already dirtied the inside of that bin, and it hasn't been here more than 3 hours. I said, it's the inside of a bin. Who cares? I mean, it's the inside of a garbage bin. I mean, what is she on to be complaining about that?
No, once again, you've been eating those gummy bears that have got too much pepper and cranky bits and pieces in them. I'm totally on Christine's side here, Anthony.
Surprise.
I'm totally on Christine's side.
What a surprise.
I feel her pain. I understand what a complex style of a cat you can be at times. Yet at the same time, if you're going to be that complex, well, why can't you just give the whiskers tin a bit of a rinse, and then it's a brand new bin.
But it's a bin.
You don't want to go and soil the brand new bin.
But it's a bin, Hoops. This is the point
correct.
I'm making.
But you can still, like, you can take a bit of pride in your bin. You can keep it a little bit neat and tidy.
I'm with Christine. Oh, of course
you are. Now, you've been eating those funny gummy bears all afternoon. I don't know what's in them. I'm not sure. You want to try one? I hope you're not giving them to the grandkids.
I wouldn't waste them on the grandkids. can I just end it on saying this, Randwick Council, thanks for the new bin. I know you've got the rangers down there at Yarra Bay looking for people walking their dog. I take my dog down there for a swim every morning, Yarra Bay, Randwick Council. Randwick Council, catch me if you can. Now, what are you calling BS on?
Oh, you love it. Oh, well, what else could you call BS on this week than the complete cream bun fight that is the St. George Illawarra Dragons? And look, whether it's Cam MacInnis and the fact that for somehow whatever reason, they decided that it was going to be a smart recruitment ploy to let Cam McInnes go and sign with their arch rivals, the Cronulla Sharks, or whether it was, I'm not going to bag them for deciding that they wanted to pursue Israel Folau. I'm going to get into the board and the management of the club. And Mark Geyer summed it up succinctly, perfectly, and straight out of the line with an old school 1980s clothesline on the Dragons management earlier in the week. How they held a board meeting and decided that it was a good idea to pursue Israel Folau, right? Mm. Rubber stamped it. Yep, no, all tickety-boo. We're all on the same page. Yep, we're all in it together. Right, oh, yep, the coach is going in a different direction. Then they pursue talks. They enter dialogue with the NRL. And then the minute that it hits the headlines, uh-oh, hang on, nah, where's reverse?
Yeah.
Beep, beep, beep. And they're out of there. They're gone. It's all off. Mm. Throw the card straight in. So clearly, there's not enough gumption there. The people who are making decisions, they just need to show a little bit more fortitude, a little bit more bottle, Anthony, because they backed their coach initially. Now they didn't back him. That's not a great start to what's a pretty new relationship, because Anthony Griffin's only had his feet under the desk and been out on the training paddock since last September. It doesn't look to me. There's alarm bells going on at St. George Illawarra at the moment. I've got grave concerns for them this year, as a playing roster, and in terms of where they're going to finish.
Yeah. Do you know off the top of your head? I don't mean to put you on the spot, Hoops, but the actual board of the football club.
Yeah.
Would that mostly be the Illawarra arm, the Dragons arm? Because this is often where the problem comes from.
It's a fair question, Anthony. It's split. So my understanding is there are four directors from the St. George Dragons side of the joint venture, and then there are also four directors from the Illawarra or Wynn television side of the joint venture. And so, and they alternate the chairmanship once every couple of years. At the moment, the chairman is the son of Bruce Gordon, the
kingpin
of Wynn television.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then the theory is that Peter Doust, the old Dragons CEO, he's back on the board. He's still heavily involved, Dousty, at the coalface, which I must say is why it surprises me that the Dragons did the backflip, the pirouette, and the triple pike as fast as they did once the Israel story hit the headlines.
Now that they're not getting Israel Folau, is there any chance they'll have a little bit of a chat to Wes Patton and see if he's available?
He could be handy, Wesy. Where's he been running around lately? Is he still?
He's still running. I've seen him around Redfern Street a couple of times, just running around.
What about in terms of his football?
I don't know that he's still playing football.
Okay.
Maybe he has a run at the knockout, but he'd be getting a bit old, wouldn't he?
What would Wes be? He'd have to be in his 40s now, I'd be thinking.
I think so, yeah.
Geez, he was handy to watch.
Wasn't he
was electric to watch in his day, yeah.
Anyway, that's I Call BS. We are going to return. We're going to talk a bit about Super Bowl. We've got another club in focus to do shortly too. It's all coming up on Triple M's Summer Session.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Brighton's Lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
Triple M's NRL Summer Session, a rugby league show all about what happens across the summer. Thanks to Brighton's Lawyers, Maroon, James, the human tricep, Hooper. Now, the latest thing to talk about here over the last 48 hours is Payne Haas. Details of the spray Payne Haas directed at New South Wales Police can be revealed after the Ford was handed a 2-year good behaviour bond for intimidating officers in Tweed Heads area. Some of the things he said, Hoops.
Yeah, off tap, out of control. And I think he's going to cop, well, I know he's going to cop a hell of a whack as a sanction.
What's a hell of a whack?
As a result, I think he's going to miss a significant number of games.
How many is that?
Well, I'm throwing a dart at the board here. I don't know because I don't make those decisions. But from the people that I've spoken to at NRL headquarters, I know they are fuming, and I would be thinking, you know, maybe 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks.
Not enough.
Well, no wonder that your nickname's the King of Cash, the Redfern Rocket, because you can fire up.
Well,
what are you suggesting is enough then?
Are you across? Have you done any work in your chosen career as a journalist?
Mate,
through
believe
the week?
It or not,
have
there's one of us that has a proper job, right? That's me.
Right.
And then there's another one that floats in here for a little cameo a couple of days a week. That's you. So to answer your question, yes, I've listened to the audio.
Right.
It's out of order.
Uh-huh.
It's out of control.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get, I just said, he's going to cop a hell of a whack. It'll be a big sanction.
4 to 6 weeks.
You asked me, and so I threw a dart at the board.
Okay.
I don't know, I'm guessing that.
What he said to these police, people in uniform, men and women, the abuse he hurled at police on the New South Wales Queensland border who've had to fight with this COVID nonsense all year, and you think 4 to 6 weeks is going to...
Did I say that, you palooka?
Well, I mean, it's disgraceful.
Now you're just pulling stuff out of your bull eye, right, and making it up. I did not say that I thought that was acceptable. You asked me what I thought the NRL was going to hand down as a sanction. I said I don't know, but I know they're fuming about it and that they are going to throw the book at the bloke. And I would suggest he's probably going to miss between 4 and 6 games to start the season as a result of the carry-on that he's gone on with.
Okay, and what sort of things did he say to the police? Can you paraphrase some of them?
Well, not really, because there's a lot of beeps and there's a lot of asterisks and there's a lot of exclamation marks. Mm. And it was all profanity.
Directed at policemen and police
and
women.
C-bombs and, it was way out of order.
Did he have an excuse?
Well, if you read the court transcripts and the media reports and what his lawyer said in court, there was some reasoning offered up about the loss of one of his brothers last year who also had a difficult life because he'd had special needs. There was some other reasoning offered about the fact that I think some of his family have had issues with law enforcement previously, but none of it, that's all just legal mumbo jumbo. The second part about the fact that his family have had run-ins with the law, you can't use that as an excuse for how you're going to behave. And what he's done is way out of order. And like I said, he's going to get severely punished.
Yeah, I just think, I honestly feel so passionate about this. I think it's disgraceful that he speaks to a young man like that, who's probably should be setting an example, speaking to police men and women in the manner that he did. It's absolutely disgraceful. He is disgraceful. And I would rather my club never win a competition again than have players like this at my club. I thank God Payne Haas plays for the Broncos, and I wonder where Kevy and Broncos management weigh in on this. Certainly this is a big test for them.
Well, Kevy would be fuming, and Kevy had a little issue himself earlier in the week where when he fronted at a press conference, which was to promote the boxing event, the All-Stars boxing event that's up in Townsville next Friday. Of course, the Payne Haas court verdict had just got handed down. And I feel for Kevy. I'll back Kevy here. Like, Kevy's a good person, and he's only new into the head coaching role at the Brisbane Broncos. But he's been around dealing with the media for many years now, and he has a thorough understanding of how it all fits together. And so the journos started peppering Kevy with questions about the Payne Haas verdict and what he thought. And look, Kevy respectfully tried to deflect, but there's times where you can deflect and there's times where you can't deflect. And after the court verdict had been handed down, even though the NRL Integrity Unit was still yet to determine what punishment and what sanctions Payne Haas will receive, I reckon if Kevy had his time again, he would probably opt to handle it differently.
Okay, well, look, Payne
Haas... Hang on, just before we go, because you're so strong about this issue.
I really am, mate.
So let me put you an ARL commission hat on you, right? You're now the chairman, or you've got a seat at the table on the board, and you've got to recommend what you think the sanction for Payne Haas should be. Mm. Hit me with your best shot. What is it?
I'd give him 12 weeks on the sideline and $50,000 fine. The police in New South Wales and Queensland, like now every time they try and arrest someone, someone's got a camera in their face, let them do their job. And when some clown like this is abusing them, punish the bloke. I mean, Kevy might be a great human being. Payne Haas obviously isn't. And while ever he's wearing the New South Wales Blues jumper, I'll go for Queensland.
Just good to see you off the fence, Splinters. I don't know about that last bit either. I think you might take that back. Although some people might beg to differ because your name is Maroon.
That's right.
So you probably should go from anyway. You know what? We don't want you anymore anyway. You can happily go for them. That's fine.
Mate, my last name's Maroon, but I'm a Redfern boy, mate. While this bloke plays for New South Wales.
You just jumped off you always do. You just jumped off and hopped in the other lane.
Because what you're going to do is this poor bloke, he's mental state, his mental health.
I haven't said any of that. When have I said any of that?
12 games and $50,000.
Whack.
Whack. Triple M's NRL Summer Session.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
Triple M's NRL Summer Session is thanks to Bryden's Lawyers with Maroon and Triceps Hooper. Well, it's Super Bowl time Monday, all day Mondays for people here in Sydney. We've got a massive event happening out there at Mounties, which should be good if you're looking for something to do to watch Super Bowl. But it's just one of those things, Hoops, it's just growing and growing in Australia every year. A little bit like, and I'm not being facetious here, a little bit like how we've now embracing Halloween.
It's an epic event these days, Anthony. Like, you think of how many workplaces, pubs, clubs have Super Bowl parties now. I've got a lot of mates who deliberately organise RDOs so that they can go and embrace, because it's a terrific American football. It is a terrific spectator sport.
Yeah. I've been to a game live. Absolutely spectacular. And just in terms of this game, people are paying up to $40,000 for a good seat. Wow. A 30-second ad, 5.6 million American. And all that sort of stuff. We always worry about who the halftime entertainment. An Australian who genuinely has made it in the NFL is a bloke by the name of Ben Graham. And we've got him on the line now, live from Melbourne. Hello, Ben.
Good morning, guys. How are you? Just the fact that you're talking about the Super Bowl in this fashion just excites me. It's 12 years ago today I played in the Super Bowl. It brings back so many great memories. It is, on a global scale, the biggest sporting event in the world.
Hey, you know what, Ben? We've had a couple of NRL players who have made the foolish decision to give up the NRL and go and play in the NFL, and they haven't even made a dint. But you had 15 years in the AFL and then went over there and played for three or four NFL clubs.
Yeah, well, punting's a little bit of a different game than the positions that Jarryd Hayne and Valentine Holmes are trying to play. Obviously, playing and growing up in the AFL landscape, kicking a football, it translates into punting. There are only 32 jobs in the world, so they are hard to get and harder to keep. That's why I played for the four teams in 8 years. But I'm sure that given that there are so many Australians now over there, a lot in college, but you look at Jordan Mulata at the Philadelphia Eagles and Adam Gotsis at the Denver Broncos, there are opportunities, but it's such a difficult sport to break into because we haven't grown up playing it. And it is so in-depth, the idiosyncrasies around each position, very hard to learn. And, you know, if you don't know the game plan and the moves required and you can't play fast, well, you can't play in the NFL. And that's sort of what it comes down to. And you've also got to remember, it's not like the NRL or the AFL where there are community and local competitions that are proving grounds. Mm. It's high school, and 3% of high school footballers go on to play college, and 1% of college footballers go on to have an NFL career. So it's the best of the best of the best. Very hard to crack in, even harder to stay in. But this is why it's such a great game for fans, and even the fans that are in the stands. They may not have played the game, but they see themselves as ready-made coaches. They understand the game that well.
Yeah, everything you've just said there, Ben, it gives you an appreciation for the mountain that Jarryd Hayne, I know ultimately he didn't get there, but the fact that he was able to make the roster, the final cut for the San Francisco 49ers, and you mentioned Jordan Mailata, who's still over there as well, and I know he hasn't had a lot of game time, but it is an epic achievement that they've been able to make it as far as they have. But what I wanted to ask you, and you touched on it off the top, 12 years ago to this day, you're over there and you feature in that Super Bowl. Just give all the listeners an idea of what a massive stage and what an event this is, and an insight into your day that day.
Well, it started for the year. I started the year at the Jets and got cut twice for poor performance, got picked up by the New Orleans Saints week 8, played at Wembley in London, got cut when I got back to New Orleans. The only reason they signed me was because I had a passport. And week 13, got picked up by the Cardinals. So I was only at the Cardinals for 4 weeks prior to the playoff run.
Wow.
So I'd only really just met the new teammates, but that was when I really understood the business side of the game. But we were called the worst playoff team in NFL history. So the fact that we won 3 playoff games, including the NFC Championship game, which was a huge event and celebration anyway, because traditionally the NFL is 2 leagues coming together and the Super Bowl is the marquee event. But after the celebrations wind down, you have 2 weeks to prepare for the Super Bowl. And not this year because of the pandemic, but generally you spend the first week studying and practicing the game plan without any distractions before you move to the Super Bowl city. in the second week. But due to what's been going on over there, the Chiefs, they fly in tonight for the game tomorrow. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, first time in history, they will play in their home stadium in a Super Bowl. So they get to sleep in their home bed. But it is a crazy build-up. Media Day, it was held virtually this year, but it's when the world's media descends on the stadium and they get to investigate all the players and everyone that's associated with the game, their stories, and it's a really fantastic build-up. The day itself, it's a couple of sleepless nights, but you're bouncing out of bed, you get into the stadium. There won't be 70,000 there in the stadium. I think they've sold 22,000 tickets, including giving 7,500 tickets away to the frontline workers and first responders, which is a great initiative. But the fact that there are hundreds of millions of people around the world watching the game, you know what's at stake. So there are lots of nerves, some anxious moments, but you've just got to trust that what you've done, the work you've put in, and has got you to that position, and you just hope that you can do the job for your teammates.
Talk to us about the main storyline. It revolves around the quarterbacks, and you've got Tom Brady, who is obviously the greatest quarterback in the history of NFL football, and you got him up against this young gun in a hot side, Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, this is a classic screenwriter's dream. It's the goat versus the kid. Tom Brady, he's in his 19th year. He's going to his 10th Super Bowl. That's more than half the years he's been in the league. He takes his team to the big dance. So that's an extraordinary effort. And the fact that he's done it with the Buccaneers in his first year with an interrupted preseason, we didn't know how long they were going to take to gel, but they've had a fantastic year at 11-5. And Patrick Mahomes, well, won the Super Bowl last year, Super Bowl MVP. They went 14-2 this year, and they lost in week 17 when they rested all their starters, so you really couldn't count that one. But Patrick Mahomes, he's the most exciting player in the NFL. He just doesn't stand in the pocket like Tom Brady and deliver. He uses his legs. He does underarm passes. He looks no-look passes. He uses his legs. It's just a fantastic matchup. It's really the old and the new. And when you couple Patrick Mahomes, who I think is the best quarterback in the league, he's also got the best wide receiver in the league at Tyreek Hill, the best tight end in the league, Travis Kelce. So he's got so many weapons that can help him and stretch the field for the Buccaneers defense. So really, it should be an offensive game, lots of high scoring, great for the fans. So it'll come down to which defense is able to stop their opposing offense. And I've been working hard to try and find a way on which defense is going to have the edge. I think the Bucs defense has the edge, but the Chiefs offense is just far and away the best offense in the NFL.
So Chiefs to win, mate?
Yeah, so I've been on the Chiefs all year. I was a little concerned towards the back half of the year where they couldn't really put a team away, but when it matters, during the playoffs, they've come up against some really good teams. You know, the Buffalo Bills came from nowhere and they were everybody's darling there for a while, but they've just shown whether they're in front, they can come back. They've got so many weapons. And I think the Chiefs, yes, in a close game, I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers might even lead at halftime. Mahomes loves a comeback. It should be great for the fans, should be a great game, but I'm expecting the Chiefs to win.
Okay, mate. And Ben, before you go, mate, you'll be at the, I know you're involved with this Mob Sporting Globe. Great place to watch a big sporting event.
Oh, the Sporting Globe. It's the closest thing to an American bar that I experienced over there here in Australia. They've got 17 venues around Australia now. I will be, been involved with them for over 7 years. And I'll be at the Sporting Globe in Richmond here in Melbourne. I know that wherever you are, you'll have a great day, but certainly plenty of Budweiser's, drink responsibly, plenty of eat responsibly, and enjoy the game, whether it's you're watching the game because you love the game, or whether you're watching it because all your mates love the game, or whether you love the halftime entertainment or the commercials. It's just a fantastic event and it's a must watch, especially with the Bucks playing the Chiefs.
Good on you, Ben. And if you can't join us at Mounties on Monday, make sure you get to a Sporting Globe. Hey, mate, great to catch up with a genuine NFL success story.
Thanks for having me on, boys, anytime.
Good on you, Ben. Ben joining us there for a talk about Super Bowl. And, you watch the NFL on telly, hoops. It can seem drawn out. It can seem to take a long time. I had the pleasure of going with my young bloke to Met Stadium, New York. We watched the Jets play the Dolphins. What an amazing night.
Yeah, I love it. I love it as a spectator sport. Whether you are watching on television or like yourself, Anthony, I've been lucky enough that I have gone to a couple of games. One of those was at MetLife Stadium that you've just referenced there. The Indianapolis Colts were playing the New York Jets. And then the other stadium that I got to go to was because Jared Hayne had gone over in San Francisco. So I went to the 49ers home ground. I'll tell you what, that is an epic venue as well. And look, I really like it as a sport. I know people can say that it can be time consuming and you need time to watch it. But when you begin to understand, and Ben did a terrific job there of explaining the nuances of the game and, you know, how it really is a lot like boxing. It's a real game of chess, NFL football. And once you get educated up about what it all means and how it all fits together, it's a cracking watch.
All right, we'll leave that NFL chat there. I'd just like to say I do disagree with the common opinion, your opinion about Jared Hayne and Valentine Holmes, even Jordan Mailata.
Mailata, mate.
Mailata. Jordan Mailata. Right. Like, these blokes, they have not made a ding in the NFL. So this bloke, he's played in the Super Bowl. You know, like Jared and Valentine and Jordan, they haven't made a ding in the NRL. Jordan's played one NFL game.
I'll tell you what, mate. They've made a lot more ding in life than what you have.
Well, maybe they have. So, maybe they have. But they still haven't made a ding in the NFL. All right?
Well, hang on. No, I'll pull you up there. What Jared Hayne was able to do, Ben Graham just explained it, and he would know because he's actually been over there.
Correct.
And he has an intricate understanding of what it takes and how technical it is, okay? For Jared Hayne to make the 49ers 53-man roster is a hell of an achievement in itself. Okay, Anthony?
Yeah, sure.
So just...
How many NFL games did he play?
More respectful.
How many NFL games did he play?
He didn't get a lot, mate.
Okay.
Well, tell you what, he's got one more than me and you.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you what, mate, pull your head in. We'll take a break and we'll come back. It's Triple M Summer Session.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
Triple M Summer Session, NRL. We look at it across the summer. And, of course, it's only, 4 or 5 weeks away and we'll be well and truly back into it. It's Maroon. It's James Tricep Super. We're going to talk Parramatta very shortly, Hoops. But that was a great chat about the Super Bowl coming up all day Monday.
Yeah, it was. And we've actually had a couple of callers telephone in. Frederick telephoned in. The switchboard lit up. And he wanted to let you know, Anthony, that Jordan Mailata, I believe you pronounced his name Mailata, which is disrespectful, foolish, and unnecessary.
Tough.
He has actually signed a 4-year deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, this will be a language that you understand. $2.5 million US, which equates to $3.3 million Australian. And he's played 15 NFL games.
Well, okay.
Might I suggest to you that you show Jordan Mailata, who was in the South Sydney system prior to going over and having a crack in the NFL, a little bit more respect.
All right. Well, what I'd do if I were you, as I say to you often on a morning before a show, fail to prepare, prepare to fail. You are the chap that said Jordan Mailata had only played one game in the NFL. So maybe have a look at what you say before you worry about what I say, all right? And I'm only making the point that Valentine Holmes, Jared Hayne and the like, oh, I've got to go and try NFL. Oh, you know, why? You haven't played it all your life. It's the equivalent of me saying, oh, I've got to go and jump a motorbike over 15 buses. Why? You don't do that. They didn't make it in the NFL because they don't play NFL.
No, that's right. But they're elite athletes. And the fact that Jared Hayne was able to go over and make the 53-man roster of an NFL side is a hell of an achievement. And you, my friend, need to pull your manners back in, calling Jordan Mailata Jordan Mailata, and also stay in your lane.
All right. Well, look, let's just leave it there. Agree to disagree. And we'll come back and we'll talk about Parramatta and their chances in 2021. Thank you, Triceps.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.